Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Voice of the Cape, Drive Time 91.3. Some 1,500 Palestinian political prisoners are on the fourth day of an open-ended hunger strike led by Fatah leader Marwan Barghouti, who has been dumped into solitary confinement. It's been called the Freedom and Dignity Strike and is in protest against the abusive measures used by Israeli prison authorities against Palestinian prisoners, most of which are in violation of international law. According to the NGO Adamir, as of March, 6,300 Palestinians were being held in Israeli prisons, 500 of whom were being held under administrative detention, which is just a euphemism for detention without trial, something in South Africa we are hugely familiar with. Is a hunger strike more than just symbolic? How does the Palestinian hunger strike counter Israel's monopoly on violence? To unpack this question, online is Basil Faraj, who holds a BA in Peace and Global Studies from Earlham College in the USA. He is a Thomas J. Watson Fellow, undertaking an independent project about Palestinian identity and its manifestations in the diaspora or Shatat. Basil is a member of the Defense for Children International, Palestine Sections General Assembly, and a grant advisor to the Pollination Project. His areas of interest include child rights advocacy, peace and justice theory, and the building of effective and critical transnational solidarities. Basil Faraj, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be here with you.
Looking at the scenario, yet another Palestinian hunger strike. I believe this is about the 25th time that Palestinian prisoners have had to resort to a hunger strike to get their point across.
That's right. Actually, since 1968, there have been over 25 mass and group hunger strikes led by Palestinians inside Israeli prisons. And in each one of these hunger strikes is unique. But at the end, what the prisoners are demanding are actually their basic rights, their minimal basic rights that should be granted to them by the occupying authority. But Israel continuously, as we are well aware, continues to negate and deny the Palestinians their prisoners their rights, which is also a reflection of what goes on outside prisons in Palestine.
Now, one thing caught my attention, and being a South African and having known so many people who were detained without trial, in South Africa, we had a 90-day detention law. You could go behind bars for 90 days and nobody would know about it. And then it could be extended indefinitely, which is almost identical to what's called administrative detention in Palestine.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, as you have noted, there are currently almost near 500 administrative detainees. But actually what Israel does is it uses this policy, which I think, as you said, it perhaps resembles what was taking place in South Africa during the apartheid regime. They arrest Palestinians without charge. It can literally pick them up from the street, place them in indefinite detention, and under the pretext of a security measure. Which really, I mean, it's not a security measure. It's part of the oppressive colonial regime which Israel practices against the Palestinians and the prisoners. And actually, this policy has been used over the years since the occupation came into force, because it's one of the, perhaps between quotations, of course, effective ways in which the Israeli authority can manage and control the Palestinian people's lives. But as you have also noted in the beginning of the topic, that the Palestinians continue to resort to hunger strikes to show the world and to also force Israel to concede, because as we all know, administrative detention is an illegal policy. It's holding people against without trial, without charge, which is illegal under international law. And what the prisoners want is an end to this policy that actually affects not only the prisoners themselves but their families.
Now, the situation of the hunger strike. Marwan Barghouti has become a major figure. The Amr Kathrada Foundation in South Africa has nominated Marwan Barghouti to be the prisoner of conscience, in other words, to be a focal point. A very bad move, it seems. The Israeli authorities have decided to put him in solitary confinement while he's on hunger strike, thereby violating, again, international law, putting him into solitary confinement. Are they very worried about Marwan Barghouti as a leader? He seems to have a huge amount of influence whether he's in prison or out of prison.
Yes, that's right. And actually, I will share 2 points. First of all, I think perhaps the listeners are aware that Marwan Barghouti has published an article in the New York Times recently. Israel went mad because, you know, they went nuts because how did this prisoner manage from his solitary confinement to smuggle a letter, publish it in the New York Times that talks about the hunger strike which is taking place? But going back to your comment about the isolation, again, this is part of the ways in which Israel tries to break down the hunger strikes. They take the prisoners to isolatory cells. They prevent lawyers from visiting them. They reduce or deny actually families from visiting their loved ones. They shackle the prisoners once they are, you know, advanced stages of hunger strikes to hospital beds with their feet and their hands both shackled. You know, they threaten them with force feeding. So we can actually contextualize it as part of the Israeli attempt to break the hunger strike. But as we, you know, as I have seen in my study, and also like in what happens in Palestine with the prisoners, particularly, the prisoners never say no. I mean, it's you know, Israel tries to break down the hunger strikes. The Palestinian prisoners get continue with the hunger strike with more will, with more force and determination, and at the end, the Palestinian prisoners end up triumphing and winning this battle. Because as you have mentioned at the beginning, it's a battle of wealth, in a sense. And the Israeli occupation being an occupation force and an apartheid regime, it does not have that will. It does not have the moral side on its side. It's the Palestinian prisoners that have that will and that hunger for freedom and justice. And I think that's what really drives them. And, you know, it's pretty hard for us to imagine, for myself, and I'm sure many of our listeners, that a person can go on hunger strike for you know, 1 month, 2 months, but once things about the battle which they are, you know, for which they are hunger striking, one begins to understand that it's not just a matter of refusing food. It's actually saying no to an occupying force that continues to deny them their basic rights. I mean, what in this hunger strike they're demanding, it might sound very simple. I mean, they're demanding normal communication with their families, access to telephones, more frequent family visits, a human treatment once they are transported to and from hospitals and interrogation centers. I mean, they are not asking for, you know, for liberation at the moment. They're asking for the end of administrative detention. So I think we can think of whatever Israel will do to break down the hunger strike. It is part of their attempt to break down the will of the prisoners.
In fact, the Israeli authorities do everything short of violence, naked violence, uppercase, in terms of the prisoners. In the 2014 hunger strike, striking prisoners were denied medical treatment, another violation. Denied family visits, another violation. Shackled by their hands and feet to hospital beds 24 hours a day, another international human rights violation. Shackled when allowed to go to the bathroom, another violation. Open bathroom doors, another violation, denying them any right of privacy. Then psychological violence. Food left near the hunger strikers. And if they, for example, might like shawarma or hummus, that will be put next to the prisoner while they are on their hospital bed. It's a horrific scenario, isn't it? I mean, these prisoners going on hunger strike know that they are going to be totally violated during the actual hunger strike.
That's right. And actually, you know, just to today I was reading the news and I read that in front of Ofer prison, which actually is a prison that you know, that is outside on the outskirts of the city of Ramallah, where a lot of prisoners who are hunger striking are being held now. I've read that some Israeli settlers were actually doing a barbecue outside the prison in an attempt, you know, to influence or to break their will. Which, as you said, it shows the savagery, I think, of this regime. You know, it's a regime that denies the basic human rights of the Palestinians. That even while they are on hunger strike, demanding just causes, they attempt in whatever force they can to break down their will and their determination. And as you said, I mean, I think it comes down, you know, it comes short of perhaps, in, you know, killing them between, you know, inflicting direct violence. But it does, as you mentioned, it does. They do that in different, in other forms. And also, you know, in the Israeli authorities, some members of the cabinet were calling for the assassination of the hunger strikers, of the prisoners. You know, like I read that one of the ministers said that, you know, they these prisoners deserve to be killed. You know,
yeah, that's
so in a sense, I mean,
yeah, that's incitement. You know, yeah. In fact, in some countries, that would be regarded as treason, that statement that that Israeli politician has made.
That's right. But Israel continues to defy international law. We have, on our part, we have to continue. You know, the prisoners are doing their own their struggle, which we must support nationally and internationally. But we also must continue to expose this apartheid regime to support the movement, which I think South Africa is very strong, the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions movement, that attempts to isolate Israel politically, economically, and culturally until it actually complies with international law and it stops its violations of the human rights of Palestinians.
Just to sort of put some perspective on this in terms of Palestinian prisoners, I think it does relate to the reason why Palestinian prisoners have wanted to conduct a hunger strike, that since 1967, statistics reveal that nearly 20% of the overall Palestinian population has been imprisoned, nearly 40% of the male population. Now, if 40% of the male population of any country had been arrested, people would be wondering, there's a major crime wave, there must be a crime problem. No, it's not a crime problem. These are people who have been put into prison because the Israeli authorities have deemed them a political threat, not a military threat, not a criminal threat, a political threat.
That's right, my friend. Actually, Israel denies the label of a political prisoner or a prisoner of war for Palestinian prisoners. They label them as security prisoners, which is a legal, perhaps a legal way of violating their rights. Because once the EU acknowledge that this occupying force holds political prisoners or prisoners of war, you must, you know, adhere to international law with regards to how to treat prisoners of war. But Israel, you know, treats them as terrorists, as criminals, as delinquents, as you have said, under the pretext of a security prisoner. And, you know, in comparison to Israeli Jewish prisoners, Palestinian prisoners are not granted any rights. You know, Israeli Jewish prisoners are granted much more frequent family visits. They are granted leave. You know, they can be released earlier if they, you know, between conditions that they behave well. But Palestinian prisoners are, you know, there have been many cases in which Palestinian prisoners' family members, fathers or mothers, were dying, and the Israeli authorities denied permission for the prisoners to leave for hours. They were not asking for more, just to say goodbye to their family members. But, you know, in the case of the Israeli Jewish prisoners, this grant has been granted. This offer, this request has been granted for many prisoners. So, you know, we can see actually, like, the other way in which the Israeli apartheid system manifests itself through prisons. This distinction between security prisoners who are Palestinian and Israeli Jewish prisoners who are treated very much more differently than Palestinian prisoners.
And just if anybody thinks that our special guest, Barrel Farage, and myself are talking nonsense about the violation of rights, just two organizations who've commented on the scenario of Palestinian hunger strikes, the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, has said that the force feeding of hunger-striking prisoners is tantamount to cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment. That's not Basil Farage's Shafiq Morton. That's United Nations. The law is also in contradiction with the World Medical Association's Declaration of Malta on hunger strikes. So it's not two commentators saying that all of this is illegal. I've just pointed out just two of the many bodies who condemn the Israeli treatment of hunger strikers. And, of course, political prisoners in Palestine. Basil, what has been the response outside of Palestine? That's where you are based, in the United States, for example, amongst people of conscience. Are the hunger strikes getting more media, more attention than what they have before?
Yeah, I'm currently in Chile doing a particular work here on the memory of prisoners during the Pinochet era, which, I mean, just to put in context, that actually here people relate to what's going on in Palestine, because they have, as you have mentioned, in South Africa, they have, in Chile here, they have been through a very similar, a cruel, inhumane detention system. The response here, where I'm based, has been growing. I mean, people are listening to what's happening. I think over the next days, people will start mobilizing much more and more, as I have witnessed in other previous hunger strikes. And also it's very important to note for the listeners that prisoners, I think in any part of the world who are conducting a hunger strike, and in this context, the Palestinian prisoners, they do count on international and national support, because a hunger strike in its, by itself will not bring concessions. I think prisoners do aspire and hope for strong mobilization, both nationally and internationally, so that Israel feels the pressure and the force to begin to concede to the demands of the prisoners. So perhaps it's a call to the listeners and to people of conscience that we should heed. Our way of heeding the prisoners' demand is by mobilizing, by spreading the word, and by forcing Israel to respect to give the prisoners their basic rights. And I think one way that, as I mentioned, is the boycott and divestment sanctions movement. To mobilize and to work within this movement to continue to isolate Israel internationally and to tell Israel that, as long as you continue to be an apartheid regime, you will be more and more isolated as days go by.
Basil Faraj, writer and academic, a BA in Peace and Global Studies from Earlham College in USA, and as he says, currently in Chile, doing a study on the scenario of political prisoners there. And of course, the people of Chile, very familiar with the concept of detention without trial and disappearing without trace while in detention.
That's right.
As much as anybody else. It's a global project in a sense that political prisoners, whether they're Palestinian, whether they're from Chile or anywhere else, that they deserve their human rights. But Basil Faraj, writer and academic, it has been a pleasure chatting to you.
Thank you very much. Pleasure chatting to you too.